Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To further unleash our economy, our majorities in the House and Senate, which we also took along with the presidency, are going to pass the largest tax cut in American history, including massive tax cuts for workers and family and big tax cuts for domestic producers and manufacturers. And we're working with the Democrats on getting an extension of the original Trump tax cuts, as you probably know, by just reading any paper.
If you weren't an idiot, you know, if you're paying any attention. In Davos last week, you know, President Trump, gave quite a speech. You know, a lot of it was the familiar kind of campaign rhetoric sort of stuff. But there were a couple of very interesting announcements made in that speech. That one, the idea of an extension of the Trump tax cuts and an even broader series of tax reductions for ordinary people, which, of course, that was the repeated, oft-repeated argument against him, is he only cares about the wealthy and he's not going to, you know, reduce taxes for everyday Americans. It's an interesting approach in, a deficit-laden budget in which, you know, he's got the Doge coming in and they're, you know, wiping out these contracts and laying off all these people and, you know, not hiring new people and putting everything on pause, especially related to DEI. Cutting the size of the federal government on the one hand, while also promising, anyway, with the razor slim majority in the House to cut the revenue for the federal government. Typically, if you're going to try to solve a deficit, you cut the outgo, you don't cut the ingo. But, you know, we'll see how it works out. There's the old theory, and not that terrible theory, kind of not exactly the Laffer curve kind of a concept, but the idea that you can actually raise revenues by cutting taxes. If you can get people to spend more and generate more activity, if you can make the speed of money through the economy increase enough, you can actually offset the size of the tax cut by generating more revenue. Or you can make the country more favorable for investment by cutting, for example, you know, corporate taxes and then, you know, threatening people with tariffs. I mean, not like President Trump would do that, and getting them to invest here. And then you generate more investment in the United States that generates more taxes. And so you can, you know, there is a strategy here. You know, I can see that strategy. Time will tell whether it pays off or not. But it's the free market slice government and also reduce the outgo and reduce the income and also try to get a lot more people participating in the economy, you know, to grow the economy in order to generate more taxes. And, you know, he says that's basically the idea.
My message to every business in the world is very simple. Come make your product in America, and we will give you among the lowest taxes of any nation on earth. We're bringing them down very substantially, even from the original Trump tax cuts. But if you don't make your product in America, which is your prerogative, then very simply, you will have to pay a tariff. Differing amounts, but a tariff which will direct hundreds of billions of dollars and even trillions of dollars into our treasury to strengthen our economy and pay down debt. Under the Trump administration, there will be no better place on earth to create jobs, build factories, or grow a company than right here in the good old USA.
Which is kind of the idea, at least my idea, of why a lot of people believed in electing the president, is that he would work to reverse what Biden had done in terms of economic, whatever you want to call it, whatever you think the Biden economy was, and that he would create a more business-friendly, a more employee-friendly environment in which to operate and, you know, spur innovation, spur growth. Think about, like, the AI deal. He's also talking about getting Saudi Arabia to invest a bunch of money.
Saudi Arabia will be investing at least $600 billion in America, but I'll be asking the Crown Prince, who's a fantastic guy, to round it out to around $1 trillion. I think they'll do that because we've been very good to them. And I'm also going to ask Saudi Arabia and OPEC to bring down the cost of oil. You got to bring it down, which, frankly, I'm surprised they didn't do before the election. That didn't show a lot of love by them not doing it. I was a little surprised by that. If the price came down, the Russia-Ukraine war would end immediately. Right now, the price is high enough that that war will continue. You got to bring down the oil price. You got to end that war. They should have done it long ago. They're very responsible, actually, to a certain extent, for what's taking place. Millions of lives are being lost.
It's an interesting theory. If you can get Saudi Arabia and OPEC to reduce the price of oil enough that they can make it hurt for Russia because Russia won't have enough inflow, or because, you know, for example, the primary consumers of Russian oil, China, India, and the like, will, you know, they'll either go somewhere else to buy their oil because it's cheaper, or Russia will have to reduce its prices so they won't be making enough money, so they won't be able to fund the war anymore, and they'll be forced to come to the negotiating table and do something to end the war, which he is emphatic about trying to end that war. He's not as emphatic about wanting to, you know, get Ukraine back to, you know, status quo ante, where they were before the actual war commenced, or even getting back to pre-Crimea invasion or anything like that. But that's his theory, as far as I can tell, is bring economic pressure on Russia to end this thing. Whether China will play, whether India will play, you know, again, like many other things, time will tell. But at least he's doing something. He seems to have a theory, as opposed to sort of, you know, hope and pray, which wasn't much of a theory before. And, of course, also talking about things that are important to him in America.
Administration has taken action to abolish all discriminatory diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense. And these are policies that were absolute nonsense throughout the government and the private sector, with the recent yet somewhat unexpected great Supreme Court decision just made. America will once again become a merit-based country. You have to hear that word, merit-based country.
Yay. I mean, yeah. In fact, when it comes to ending DEI in the military, there's just total chaos across the military right now, as everybody has been scrambling to comply with what they perceive as the end of DEI in the military, taking down websites, stopping initiatives, trying to scrub stuff off of everything that's public facing that might be perceived as having a DEI element, a diversity, equity, inclusion element, a race and gender element. Okay. You know, and also LGBT stuff. Those are the kind of the three general elements of DEI. Is kind of another word for wokeism. And anyway, one of the elements of this is that the Air Force had videos in its basic training that would show things like the Tuskegee Airmen, you know, the black airmen who were the, you know, the Red Tails in World War II that fought so effectively and are such a great story of how if you have a resource and you don't use it, you miss out. When you find a resource and you use it effectively, it's incredible. And also for the female women, you know, the women who volunteered to fly the bombers off the production lines out to the, you know, basically where they would be flown into battle by the men, because, you know, they were not allowed to fly the actual planes into battle, but they could transport them. And the transporting of them was a way that you could, you know, help and contribute to the military effort, kind of one of the very early elements of having female pilots in the military. The WASPs is what they call them, the Women Air Force Service Pilots, not white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Anyway, those two things were part of the training, and they got taken out. And people said, oh, my God, you're not going to teach about these two great American stories that are favorable to promoting the idea of the ability of black and women to serve in the military. And so there was kind of this, see, this is what you get under Trump. See, he's going to make it, you know, the all-white male military. Well, Pete Hegseth has now said, yeah, no, we're going to fix this. This is an overreaction. This is a mistake. Katie Britt was the one who kind of criticized this online. She says, I have no doubt Secretary Hegseth will correct and get to the bottom of the malicious compliance we've seen in recent days. These role models will continue. President Trump celebrated and honored the Tuskegee Airmen, and he did. These were in his prior administration and since. But certainly before. These role models will continue to inspire the next generation of courageous, selfless American service members. And they are now going to be restored. The San Antonio Express News reports that the videos are going to be restored to basic training curriculum for new recruits beginning today. And basically, Pete Hegseth says we're all over it after he just barely got confirmed, right? 50-50 and a tie-breaking vote by J.D. Vance. But the interesting note about that story is the malicious compliance. Malicious compliance is a great term. It's the it's like when somebody is like a pedestrian is crossing the street in front of you and, you know, they shouldn't be crossing the street and you're in the car and you're waiting and they like slow down. That's malicious compliance, right? They're doing it, but they're doing it defiantly, right? They're actually trying to gum up the works by doing it less well. It's, you know, the kid obeying your instruction, but obeying it very, very badly in a way that drives you crazy. Well, malicious compliance is obedience that goes beyond in some way or drags its feet in another way. And particularly, it's designed to make the thing itself look bad. Like, for example, you remember when all of the book controversies were going on in Florida and still are. And you had the early reaction from some teachers was to just clear their bookshelves or put, you know, drapes over their bookshelves or whatever. Well, that's malicious compliance because then they take a photo of that. That would come out in social media or in regular media, and it made it look like Florida was in the ending of books business. It was designed to make the program look bad by exaggerated compliance in unnecessary ways, and that would come back as backlash, right? That was kind of the idea. That's malicious compliance. Well, same thing here. It looks like, you know, best interpretation of this is, why would you remove the Tuskegee Airmen and the WASPs education as a way of making it look like that's what was required and making the administration look bad for this instruction when you don't actually have to remove those? That's not part of the problem. So, you know, it's very subversive, and that's what, you know, they're calling it that. But at the same time, and it's worth noting, that censorship, this is kind of how it works. You know, censorship, what it does, and, you know, stopping DEI is a form of censorship. I mean, there can be good censorship. If you think that DEI stuff is bad, and I do, stopping it is still a form of censorship, but it's a good censorship. But censorship creates an environment within which you don't know where the line is, and so you go well over the line in order to feel safe. And that's always been the argument about the book bans. That's now going to be the argument about the DEI stuff is, well, we don't know where the line is and we don't want to run the risk of, you know, being on the wrong side of it. So we better get rid of this stuff. So it's a question of how you interpret this particular move. I think malicious compliance makes the most sense, but I can also see the other side where somebody might say, well, we're just not sure where the line is. And we were worried that if we promote the black history or women's history in the military, that might be viewed as some kind of a DEI thing. So it's kind of, you know, two sides to this story anyway. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Of course, the president also talked about the genders.
I've made it official, an official policy of the United States, that there are only two genders, male and female. And we will have no men participating in women's sports, and transgender operations, which became the rage, will occur very rarely.
Became the rage. I don't know that he's wrong about that also. You know, a thing become, how is it possible that so many people could be transgender, except that all of a sudden this became the thing that people, oh, that's the new, you know, it used to be tattoos were kind of exotic and, you know, norm breaking and, well, and everybody's got tattoos. Well, let's get tattoos on our face. Well, not everybody's got tattoos on their face. Let's get what can we do next? The problem with, you know, breaking norms as a form of personal expression is that if the culture adapts to embrace the norm breaking, then eventually you're kind of like, well, where do we go from here? I guess felonies. I mean, you know, it's just, what do we do next? You know, when every form of for example, in the sexual realm, okay, you know, deviations from the norm of waiting until you're going to get, until you get married to have sex and then have children once you get married, you know, variations on deviation from that norm become more and more excessive because, well, you know, the culture says, you know, that's normal. Okay, well, we got to do something to break the norm in order to rebel, in order to feel important. And eventually, kind of like, well, I don't even, are we even throwing darts at the dartboard anymore? I mean, nobody's even trying to hit the center. So how far from it can we get? That's kind of the argument that he's making, is that transgenderism is not just some, you know, real, genuine, psychological or biological problem that people have to deal with. It's a fad of sorts. And you, it's hard to argue with that unless you're wanting to believe that all throughout all of human history, there's just been so many transgender people who were suppressed by the culture. Seems unlikely. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose. And millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Durango 95 purred away real horror show. A nice, warm, vibratey feeling all through your gutty woods.
Good morning, 527, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You got any snow left at your house, John?
No, actually not.
I have all three, well, remnants of all three body parts of my backyard snowman, Franz, that I built on Friday.
Franz?
Well, yeah, Hans was in the front yard and Franz was in the backyard.
I didn't realize you named them Hans and Franz.
They're going to roll you up. Yeah, I actually it's kind of funny because I set up a contest online. I just said, all right, the game is Last Snowman Standing.
Yeah, I saw that part.
And, you know, I went out and rolled up a snowman in the backyard because I figured it was the last snow play day on Friday when the snow was starting to melt away. And, you know, went to take my nap. And by the time I woke up from my nap, apparently I had not built Franz very well. And so Franz had fallen down, you know, and he can't get up. And he doesn't have the med alert button. So, but he has done really well. Also, Hans in the front yard was actually surviving really well. I actually thought maybe Hans in direct sunlight was going to outlast Franz. He did not. Hans is not with us anymore. But Franz in the backyard in 3 segments laying down. I went out this morning and he's got just about a 3-inch head laying down. And the arms are still attached to the midsection. And the base, I don't think the base is going to survive today. But my prediction was that he would make it till Monday, and he did, in fact, make it till Monday, except that he fell down. So I lost. I didn't win the contest, but he is there. Yes?
Yes, yes. Okay. I'm. Yeah, go ahead. Right.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines.
I don't know how they survived that long.
Well, you know, it takes a long time in the way physics, right? It takes a long time for the outside to melt off.
I mean, my snowman was gone by, I think, Thursday. So
yeah.
You didn't build him in the right place. I built mine in the shade. Of the trees, you know.
See,
so.
I guess I didn't take all that into account. I didn't think of the snowman physics. Today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Survivors and family members are gathering in Poland to mark the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. About 3,000 people are expected for the ceremony. Only 50 are survivors. Potential new owners of TikTok could be a company called Perplexity AI and the U.S. government. The AI company submitted a proposal that would allow for 50% ownership by the government. TikTok has just a few weeks remaining to find a U.S. buyer now. And the Trump administration
says...
The
U.S. government would be half owner of TikTok?
That's what they're saying, yeah.
Oh, this is a great idea. Next, newspapers. Go on, sorry.
And the Trump administration says the Colombian government has now agreed to the unrestricted acceptance of all illegal aliens from Colombia that are being returned from the United States. This is after President Trump threatened tariffs when they refused a couple of deportation flights over the weekend.
You don't threaten a trade war at me. I threaten a trade war at you. He win his first semi-trade war. You know, throw your weight around. Get something done.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The president of Colombia gives in and allows U.S. military aircraft transporting deportees into the country after the Trump administration threatens tariffs and sanctions.
The White House says Colombia has agreed to all of President Trump's terms, including accepting all illegal migrants being returned from the U.S. after Colombia had initially refused two military aircrafts carrying deported illegal migrants.
Fox's Brooks Singman, President Gustavo Petro had complained Colombian migrants were being treated inhumanely. The Auschwitz concentration and extermination camp in Poland was liberated 80 years ago today.
Delegations from more than 50 countries will pay their respects. The British King Charles, 19 presidents, plus survivors of the camp. President Donald Trump's Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff and Commerce Secretary nominee Howard Lutnick will lead the U.S. delegation.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 53 degrees right now. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Navarre Beach's causeways, southbound lanes will be closed tomorrow for some seawall repairs. Santa Rosa County officials say repairs on the causeway began back in November. Construction crews are now working to install soil anchors for newly installed portions of the front wall and the existing wall. The project is expected to be complete sometime this April. Investigators in Santa Rosa County are looking into a fatal shooting. The sheriff's office says they responded to a residence for a welfare check over the weekend after family members had reached out concerned for Alan Phillips' safety. They say they hadn't heard from him in several days. Deputies entered his home and found Phillips dead with a gunshot wound to the chest. His wife, Tequila Phillips, was identified as a suspect. She was taken into custody by police in Wetumpka, Alabama. Officials say she had been evasive about her husband's whereabouts prior to his body being found. Tequila Phillips is now awaiting extradition to Florida in the case. The investigation continues. Also, a man wanted for a homicide in Milton last month was arrested. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office says 31-year-old Toby White was taken into custody over the weekend. He was wanted on a second-degree murder charge. That investigation also continues. One of the FBI's most wanted now in custody in Lake County. Missouri's Donald Eugene Fields II was arrested Saturday in Lady Lake. According to Lady Lake police, an officer realized a license plate didn't match the car that Fields was driving. He's been on the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list for almost 2 years now. He's facing child sex trafficking and child rape charges. Well, changes could be coming to immigration laws in Florida. Lawmakers meeting in Tallahassee today for a special legislative session. Governor Ron DeSantis called for the session to address illegal immigration, condo reforms, and storm relief. One of the bills would call for the state to stop offering in-state tuition to illegal immigrants that live in Florida. DeSantis said if the changes are made, other states could step up and do the same thing. Today marks marks International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Tamar Mayor with Yad Vashem USA says the day honoring the 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust is always significant, but he says this year it's even more significant because it comes as the hostage-prisoner exchange continues in Gaza.
We are living in a world of rising anti-Semitism, and if we cannot remember the lessons from the past, then we are doomed to have them happen again.
And there are several events across Florida today recognizing the victims and celebrating the resilience of Holocaust survivors. Today also marks the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be dealing with a mostly cloudy day today with showers and thunderstorms for north of I-10 area. High today near 61 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. As you go into Tuesday, high near 62 with partly cloudy skies. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 52 degrees. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 53 in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, 51 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Activist investor Ancora Holdings has built a stake in U.S. Steel and wants the steelmaker to drop its merger agreement with Japan's Nippon Steel, the Wall Street Journal reported. The report also said the activist investor intends to rally shareholders around a plan to oust U.S. Steel's top boss, David Burritt. Google has pledged to crack down on fake online reviews with tougher punishments for rogue reviewers and businesses that try to profit from them. Google will delete all written reviews by people who repeatedly write fake or misleading reviews for UK businesses. Perplexity AI has revised the merger proposal it had submitted to TikTok parent ByteDance. The proposal, which would create a new entity combining Perplexity and TikTok US, would now also allow for the US government to own up to 50% of the new company upon a future IPO. Futures are sharply lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 140, the NASDAQ down 99, the S&P 500 down 17. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Meg, inviting you to join the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday at 9:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show to talk about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations in Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Return the sender. Return the sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it, return the sender.
On Friday, we made an effort to connect with the United States Postal Service, and we actually had a representative, Tiffany Rowland. She's a strategic communication specialist with the Postal Service on the line. Tiffany, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Did I make you laugh a little bit with that song intro?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. So, obviously, you know, here in the, you know, Escambia and Santa Rosa County, and God, I have to assume all throughout North Florida, we have had mail issues. You know, people have not been getting their mail, not been able to send it or receive it for the last couple of days. I think the snarkier ones, which, you know, are out there, are going to, you know, ask the question, well, I thought it said neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these carriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. But no, I mean, you know, conditions are conditions, right? So tell us kind of what's been going on with the Postal Service. The mail doesn't stop just because the mail stops, right?
That's correct. So, of course, we all know that these weather conditions were unprecedented. And we are constantly evaluating and adjusting operations to ensure safety. So we, and that's our highest priority, is the safety of our customers and our employees. We work with local officials. We also work with our safety specialists to make sure that our infrastructure is operational in these conditions, especially like the road conditions. We want our employees to return back home, you know, that they came to work. So we are doing, you know, everything possible to make sure all operations is fully functional as soon as possible, you know, as soon as we possibly can.
How does the decision get made? Does it, because I know it's a large region, right? Georgia and Florida is a large region, but is it, I don't know, do we have like a local postmaster who makes this decision? I assume it's not, you know, location by location. I assume it's a regional decision, but you tell me, you know, how does that decision get made?
Well, I can't say it is local. It is based on local operations. If the roads are clear, if the postal units are operational due to, you know, if they have electricity, if everything is working, functioning properly, then mail can be delivered. It also works on if the plants are operational, if they're receiving mail from other areas that may be affected by the weather. So it is regional, but it also is local based on what locally the carriers and the postmasters can do for our customers.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense also what you were saying before about how, you know, sometimes think about just the trucks being out delivering the mail. Well, it's the big trucks getting the mail to us, and then it's the employees getting to the office and then driving around in the mail trucks as well. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen a mail truck lately, but they don't look like the most snow capable vehicles in the entire universe and not exactly lifted 4x4s, right?
Correct.
Correct.
And up north, our carriers are a little bit more equipped to the weather than they are down south. So,
well, and to be fair, in the north, they have the, you know, the treatment and the, you know, the road infrastructure where the roads are made passable by, you know, putting down salt and putting down sand and putting down chemicals and all of that kind of stuff. So it's experienced by the drivers and also just, you know, what the, you know, local governments are equipped to do. Tiffany, what happens now? Because, you know, like I mentioned kind of in the beginning, you know, just because we're not getting mail at our houses or businesses doesn't mean that the mail has stopped flowing. There's going to be a backlog, I have to assume. How does getting rid of that backlog affect operations? Are we going to have, like, Sunday deliveries? Are you going to have more people temporarily working to make up the difference? What does that mean for the mail service in the next day or two?
Well, mail will continue to be delivered. So as it comes in, it will deliver. It will still be the same Monday through Saturday deliveries. No additional Sunday deliveries of mail, maybe packages, but not of letter mail. So you may just have, instead of maybe the one or two letters in your box, it may be 10 to 12. So it's just going to accumulate as it comes through, and the carriers are going to make sure all that mail is delivered.
Okay. So essentially over the next day or two, we might have more of it, but there's no fundamental adjustment to the routes or staffing, and there's no expansion to Sunday.
Correct.
Okay. All right. When something like this happens, I mean, it's very unusual, right? I mean, we broke records. I mean, shattered records for snowfall here in Florida. I know in Georgia, you guys got bad weather too, but, you know, in that weird inversion, we got it worse than you guys did. What do you do post-op? What do you do after a storm to see if there aren't ways that it can be done a little bit better? Or maybe it can't be done better. I mean, you know, maybe it's just the roads were what the roads were and that's all you could really do. But, you know, what do you do to make sure that you're at peak effectiveness for this essential service?
Well, it's a bit of both. Like you said, sometimes it is the condition that we are dealing with. If the roads are not good, then we just can't get on it. But the main thing for us is safety. We want to make sure all of our employees and our customers are safe. So if we have a post office that could be operational, however the sidewalks are icy, then we may not have that office open because we don't want any of our customers to slip and fall or to hurt themselves. So it's just based on it's based on all conditions. We want to, and we absolutely, our carriers do want to make sure all mail is delivered. We want to make sure our customers receive their medications, those important mail pieces and packages, but we have to make sure it's done safely. So we do prepare our carriers for extreme weathers, severe winter storms. We, you know, make sure they're layered up. They wear their scarves, their hats, their coats. And then there are conversations with the carriers in terms of what can be done differently if they see that, you know, one thing is the new vehicles. The new vehicles definitely help a lot with the heating and air for the comfort of extreme weather. So we do evaluate different things that we can adjust for and make better for next time. But mainly in this situation, it was the road conditions.
Yeah, that makes sense. And by the way, I don't think I've seen one of the new vehicles here in Pensacola yet. They might be out, and I'm not aware of it. But yeah, you're right. I wasn't even thinking about that. That the old vehicles don't necessarily have the heat. You know, they may not have the air conditioning. And of course, in Pensacola, you don't normally need it particularly. What we're so unfamiliar with this kind of a problem from the homeowners who have a mailbox on their house as opposed to on the street side or at the community box or something like that. Do you want them to do anything particular? We don't really have snow shovels, but a lot of it's melted off at this point. But where it hasn't, is there anything that we can do to make your postal workers safer when they're coming to our property?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that. We do ask for our customers to help our carriers by the best way they possibly can by maintaining a clear path. If they have stairs that are icy, if they can, if you say you don't have snow plows, but some kind of way, clear off those paths so when the carriers walk up the stairs, they're not slipping and falling. If the mailbox is on the curb, if they can clear that path when the carriers come up so they won't slip and the tire slip into, an accident. Any way possible to clear the path for your carrier to deliver your packages and your mail, we will greatly appreciate that.
Outstanding. Well, it's like you said, it's a thing we don't always think about just because, all the things we never have to think about because we never have ice and snow like this. Tiffany Rowland, she is a strategic communication specialist with the United States Postal Service. Tiffany, thank you so much for the time this morning. And, we know it's a difficult job and we appreciate the service coming. And, we certainly hope that we never have to deal with this really ever again. That's our big hope. But thank you so much for kind of answering my questions today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We thank all of our customers for their continued support.
Most definitely. 5:47 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And, just like the snow is gone, except in very small places where you might notice it, it's all like it didn't even happen. Mail's back to normal. everything's just... Let's just pretend it never happened, except it will. And Facebook will remind you in 10 years. Hey, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to go. One of the reasons I recommend them, a personal experience I had that was very good. Dave Ramsey recommends them. But you also see a lot of people recommending them that you might not think about. License plate frames that say Frontier Motors, bumper stickers that say Frontier Motors, driving around town. And as you're driving around today, I just keep an eye out and look and see if you don't see one or two, and maybe tomorrow, if you're paying attention, you'll see three or four. And eventually, when you train your eyes, you'll see so many that you'll think, why did Andrew make it so that all I can see on the road is Frontier Motors bumper stickers and license plate frames? Well, that's good news for you, because that means that's a place that's been serving an awful lot of people for an awfully long time, because so many of them continue to advertise on, again, their bumpers. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them the bumper sticker sent you.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Celtic Angels enable their audiences to experience the real Ireland, celebrating their cherished heritage through Irish song. Five beautiful women with glorious harmonies make up the Celtic Angels. The Celtic Knights world champion dancers leave audiences breathless. And the Trinity Band Ensemble with flawless interpretations of authentic Irish music. Join us for award-winning song, dance, and music as the Celtic Angels carry you to Ireland on Wings of Music.
Coming to the Sanger Theater March 17th. Get your tickets now.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Greatness courts failure, Romeo.
You may be right, boss, but you know what? Sometimes par is good enough to win.
In the daytime, girl, I want to be with you all of the time. The only
time.
This
has been the honor of a lifetime to anchor this legacy broadcast. You know, the CBS Evening News is, for good reason, the longest running evening newscast in America. And it is powered by the finest journalists around the world. The correspondents, producers, researchers, and crews who work tirelessly to bring you the news every night. And that won't change because journalism matters. I know that because I've heard it from so many of you, our viewers. So, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for trusting us and welcoming Hard News with Heart into your homes.
It's always hard to say goodbye. I mean, it is. Nora O'Donnell signing off for the final time from the CBS Evening News on Friday. I don't think they have said who they're going to actually have. I think there might be sort of a gaggle-style anchor system where it's not going to be a person who's anchoring, but it might be kind of a group of people. She's going to stick around and do some other stuff for CBS. I always liked Nora O'Donnell. I thought she was very, very good. Her partner, Margaret Brennan, at the vice presidential debate has become worse and worse. Oh, my God, the J.D. Vance interview yesterday. Did you watch the J.D. Vance interview with Margaret Brennan yesterday? Oh, it's embarrassing for Margaret Brennan. It was so bad. And she just, like, she can't even control her face, let alone, like, her reactions to things. It was just so, oh, man. Yeah, that was bad for them, the vice presidential debate, when they fact-checked after they promised that they wouldn't do fact-checking anymore. I know some of you can't stand Nora O'Donnell. I think she's been a very, very good news person. And, you know, and thank God now we can go back to just having men on the news. I mean, you know, like, it's all men, right? It's David Muir and it's Lester Holt for as long as he's still around. And, you know, Nora O'Donnell was the woman. And, you know, I thought she always did quite well. But she's, you know, a little teary-eyed at the end, which is how it goes. This is very normal for somebody signing off in their last broadcast.
I will miss you, too, but I will see you on CBS News programs, including Mornings, 60 Minutes, Sunday Morning, and in primetime. So, for the final time, that's tonight's CBS Evening News. I owe it all to everybody I work with, honestly. Love you.
Group hug.
Good night.
I love you. I like that. I think that it's, I'm a big believer. This happens in radio too. You know, a lot of times you're like, it's funny because the way in radio it often works is you kind of get done with your shift and the manager's like, hey, come see me in the office. You know, and that's the last time you talk to the people. It's not a good way to do it. You know, it's a lot better. And I always try to do this with people when, you know, producers leave or news people leave. I always spend that broadcast letting them say goodbye and saying goodbye to them because, you know, I just think it's weird because you build these relationships with the people that you listen to and then all of a sudden they're just not there anymore. And you're just expected to think that's normal. It's not normal. So I like a sign-off. I think it's a good thing. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. David is working on news for Cat Country over there, so we won't go to him just yet. What else do we have going on? The Friday night purge of the inspector generals. Now, if you don't know what an inspector general is, they're kind of like the government version of internal affairs. You know, in the police, the internal affairs is the ones that make sure the cops are doing what they're supposed to be doing and keeps them honest to the principles and the law. The IGs are always the ones who are looking for fraud and waste and crimes. And, you know, they're trying to keep the government within its boundaries doing what it's supposed to do. They're the checkers. They're the verifiers. They're like, you know, when FEMA is going around collecting debris and then the truck is behind the picker with the clipboard and the scanner making sure that the truck is only collecting the stuff that it's supposed to collect and properly verifying the way. That's what the IG does. So firing a bunch of inspectors general is really scary because it's kind of like saying, well, we don't need the checkers anymore. Yeah, you really need the checkers. And, you know, if you're going to try to cut down on, like, fraud and waste and, you know, illegality, how do you enforce that except with the IGs? I mean, this concerns me. Now, this is not like, you know, we're going to DEFCON 1 or anything on this, but, you know, you go from 5 to 4. Now, I'm always willing to hear the case, you know, why did these particular people deserve to be fired? By the way, there's a question of whether this was legal or not. Like, there's at least one of them has said he's going to come to work today because you're supposed to give Congress 30 days notice before you terminate any inspectors general. So we'll see how this plays out. But yeah, it's kind of going to be a moot point in a month. You know, will they work for a month or not work for a month? Who knows? But it concerns me because, you know, I mean, you've got all these agencies that are now missing their IG. And that's not good. So, you know, did they deserve to go? Well, again, I'm willing to wait for the explanation, but the Friday night purge doesn't look good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Trump administration says the Colombian government has now agreed to the unrestricted acceptance of all illegal aliens from Colombia returned from the United States. In a statement issued over the weekend, the White House said the country agreed to President Trump's terms after he threatened tariffs. Trump threatened retaliatory measures after Colombia denied entry to a pair of U.S. military deportation flights over the weekend. Officials in Southern California are concerned about possible mudslides now, with rain being forecast in the same area as the wildfires. The National Weather Service issued a flood watch for several of the burn areas and winter weather advisories being issued there as well. Potential new owners of TikTok could be a company called Perplexity AI and also the U.S. government. The AI company submitted a proposal that would allow for up to 50% ownership by the government. TikTok just has a few weeks now to find a U.S. buyer or potentially be banned in the U.S.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Trump has been like throwing mud against the wall as fast as he can grab it, you know, and the stuff that sticks, we'll see. One of the major announcements that came over the weekend was the freezing of all foreign aid. Now, in the grand scheme of the federal budget, it's not that much money, but it is a lot of money for the things that it does. And, you know, we're talking about, I think the number is a couple billion worldwide. But there's all kinds of stuff that goes in there. The only thing that's allowed to continue is emergency food assistance and foreign military financing for Israel and Egypt. the problem here is it's like health aid and it's development assistance, some military, clean water distribution. There's just all kinds of stuff in our foreign aid. And what I would have preferred would be a statement that, hey, all foreign aid is going to be reviewed and we'll give you an answer within 90 days of which aid is going to continue. As opposed to ending it all now and saying, well, it's going to take us 3 months to figure out which ones of these are going to stay in place. For all the good that foreign aid does, this is a really impetuous way to approach it. You would never do this with, like, military funding or HUD or something. Ending it and saying, well, we'll come back when we're ready.